Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons 1 to 3.
Deloitte's Bill Eggers on reorganizing government agencies.
We have a once-in-a-generation chance to do this differently, to take advantage of all the new technologies, the new business models, the more horizontal structures, to create a different shape of what these agencies are going to look like. Flatter organizational structures, more horizontal.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Sign up for Federal News Radio's email alerts to stay on top of the latest news affecting the federal community. Go to federalnewsradio.com and click the sign up button at the top of the page.
Welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us here. We're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m., and this is your show. We're following the money for you as a federal worker, a contractor, or retiree. Today, I've got three really good guests. I'm going to be speaking with Colleen Kelly. She is president of the National Treasury Employees Union, and I've asked her to talk about the budget, its impact on the IRS, Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, and various other agencies, and also to comment on the Republican alternative. And later in the show, I'll be talking with regulars Steve Watkins. He is editor of the Federal Times, and reporter Sean Riley, reporter par excellence. And Sean specializes in the Postal Service, but he covers other things as well. And we'll be talking to Steve and Sean about the impact of the extending the continuing resolution on federal agencies. As you know, the continuing resolution expires March 4th. This is what the government has been running on, and President Obama yesterday threatened to veto it if it contained measures that he didn't like, and they do look like they're heading for some kind of a showdown there. Also, we're going to be talking about what the White House 2012 budget would mean for federal employees and agency managers. So, but first to Colleen Kelly, and we'll talk about what's on her mind as president of the largest independent union. Colleen, what's in it for feds?
Well, for most federal agencies, there's a recognition that there's funding that they need to be able to deliver on the core missions that the taxpayers expect them to deliver on every day. So for the IRS, what that means is that, and this is good news for the country, actually, if the IRS is funded at these levels, because it will allow the IRS to modernize, to improve their customer service, and also to increase their tax collections. Now, those tax collections are taxes that are due by taxpayers, and of course, I think we all want everyone to pay their fair share, so that that's all everybody is paying, that we don't want to be paying somebody else's share. So the improvements that would be able to be made by the IRS would help with their collection to be able to start to close that tax gap that you often hear about, which is the difference between taxes that are owed and the taxes that are actually paid. I think one of the things that many people also do not focus on is that well over 93% of the funding for all of the federal government, for every agency that they depend on every day, comes from the taxes that are collected by the Internal Revenue Service. So this budget is important. It's important not just to the IRS, but to all of the other agencies depending on that funding. And the fact that the president's budget proposes these improvements and this modernization that will actually allow them to improve is a good thing.
It seems to be it's ingrained in the American psyche that they want to pay their fair share, and they want everybody else to pay their fair share.
That's right. That's right. And that's what the IRS needs, the resources and the personnel to be able to do, is to enforce the laws and collect those taxes fairly from everyone, so that it is not an undue burden on those who are doing the right thing and paying their taxes.
Well, you know, I think this is an established principle in America that most people pay their taxes. One of the things you have in these emerging nations, and I know in the 1960s, the Kennedy and Johnson administrations were asked by various foreign governments, the government of Chile comes to mind, to have American tax experts, people from the IRS and the Treasury, come down there and help them get their tax system going to where people paid their fair share. And many think it was that sort of voluntary compliance, which we take for granted in this country, which is rare in many other parts of the world, is responsible for the improvement in the economies of countries like Chile.
Well, and I think you're right, especially with your use of a very important word, Mike, and that's the voluntary nature of our tax system. That's what our nation has, and it works best only when every taxpayer believes they are being fairly and uniformly applied, you know, having those laws applied. And the IRS needs to have the sufficient resources and personnel to be able to ensure that fair treatment of all taxpayers and also to help taxpayers who need assistance with being compliant.
So the American system is fairly unique in the world, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I think each year at this time, when it's a question of how the agency will be funded, it reinforces that, the importance of it, and what they need to be able to continue to not only deliver a fair tax system, but also, as I said, taxes they collect, which, of course, are passed by Congress, not taxes made by the IRS, are what funds the rest of the government, which is really taken for granted very often by most when you think about the highways that are built and the Social Security checks that are paid and things like that. That all comes from the IRS collecting the fair taxes and then the federal government using that to run the rest of the agencies.
One of the unusual things this time around is the continuing resolution. We're well into the current fiscal year, and they're already looking at next year's budget. I'm hearing from contractors who say they've been laid off because of the uncertainty, and several federal agencies have imposed hiring and or promotion freezes. And I got an email the other day from a woman with the IRS, and she said the situation is so tight in her office that they literally do not have printing paper, copy paper. Is this anecdotal stuff or is this happening?
Well, I think some of it is anecdotal. I would hope the examples about the copy paper are anecdotal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think across the board in agencies, they really do not know what the next couple of months will bring, whether they will end up under a CR from last year, and so they are taking this very seriously. And in most agencies, they are not doing what they would normally do, like attrition hires. If 10 or 20 or 100 employees retire, the agency knows that they need those positions filled to be able to continue to deliver on their mission, and they are not backfilling those positions. We're not seeing the hiring of any substantial groups of employees in any agencies. Everyone is looking individually at each individual position, and they are going without filling of positions because the future is so uncertain, that is for sure. And I think that there's a recognition and a concern that they could have to finish out this year at the FY10 levels.
Well, a little more than a year ago, President Obama said that they wanted to take a look at many jobs that had been given out to contractors under both the Clinton and the Bush administrations, identify those that were inherently governmental, and then bring them back into government. So it looked for a time there as if the government was going to grow by 200 to, according to some estimates, 400,000 jobs, depending on what they found. Is that dead in the water?
I would not say it's dead in the water, because in that case, what you're really talking about is conversion dollars. You know, you're talking about rather than spending X on a contractor, that an agency may be converting the position to a federal position for X minus, because it would be less cost, and then you would have them in the agency and directly accountable. But I think every position, whether it is, you know, one being converted from contractor to federal employee, or just the need to maintain the current level of service in all of these agencies. Agencies are very concerned. What they want to do is avoid at all costs having to look at RIFs. No one is interested in, well, no one that I know is interested in furloughs of federal employees. And, if it comes to a funding issue, those are very real questions that the agencies may have to look at, and that's what everyone is trying to avoid. So they're being, overly cautious, but I think appropriately overly cautious until they know, you know, what the real budget situation is for this fiscal year.
Well, I know that many people, and I expect you were one of the at the top of the list, were surprised when President Obama proposed a two-year federal pay freeze, and then someone pointed out that the Deficit Reduction Committee, which was bipartisan, pointed by the president, had actually recommended a three-year freeze, I believe. Oh, so what was your reaction when the freeze idea came from the White House?
Well, I was very disappointed, and I let that be known in how it happened, and the real lack of discussions with the labor unions and, you know, the employees that they represented about if there were other options out there. Now, obviously, that has now been done for 2 years, but as we know, and we see it every day, I know we all hope that the economy's turning. While it has not turned as fast as we had all hoped, I think that the two-year pay freeze is more than a fair contribution by federal employees to the current economic situation. And I'm hoping that that's the end of it, that there will be no more talk about it and surely no more action on it.
Well, now, the House Appropriations Committee has made some major cuts in government as a proposal. Could you tick off some of those? Because I know you had looked at the Food and Drug Administration, at EPA, at TSA, Customs and Border Control, Health and Human Services. Can you kind of run down the list of what the House is the House Committee
sure.
is proposing?
Well, in the IRS, they're proposing a reduction of almost 10% of the IRS's budget, and that's compared to what the, and you have to be careful here what you're comparing them to. That will be compared to the president's proposed 11 budget that was never acted on. But a 10% cut, that's $1.3 billion. For every one of those dollars not funded to the IRS, that is a multiplier of dollars, usually in the $5 to $10 range, that will not be collected. So there is a direct correlation there, which you know, people like those on the House Appropriations Committee who proposed these cuts really failed to recognize.
Colleen, let me stop you right there because we need to take a short break, but I wanted to get back to that force multiplier thing because it's a favorite term in Washington. But talking with Colleen Kelly, President of the National Treasury Employees Union, and we'll be right back.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
It may come as a surprise to some, but the man who helped train the London suicide bomber, whose attacks killed 52 people in 2007, has been free for 2 years. According to court documents, Mohammed Junaid Babar, a naturalized U.S. citizen from Pakistan, faced a 70-year prison sentence, but he cooperated with British and U.S. authorities and was released after 5 years. Some experts say his help has been extraordinary. I'm J.J. Green.
When you think of forensics, a popular TV show with crime scene investigators probably comes to mind. But have you ever thought about forensics at the 30,000-foot level? Literally, Air Inc. has. Air Inc. and their partners help oversee the airspace above the nation's capital and have the ability to recreate virtually any situation to indisputably determine the facts, marrying everything from voice recordings to video to GPS. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Larry Clinton from Internet Security Alliance commented during the panel discussion, Advanced Persistent Threat, Industrial Strength Hacking, brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
What we're talking about, a series of well-planned, well-organized, well-funded, often state-sponsored attacks using entire suites of designer malware that target not just systems, but specific individuals to get at them. These guys are professionals.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com. Keyword, Booz Allen. Whether it's the theft of intellectual property, state secrets, or the disruption of critical systems that power our economy and ensure our national security, Booz Allen Hamilton's strategy and technology consultants provide an integrated cybersecurity approach across the full spectrum of people, process, and technology to leverage and provide a way of thinking and action to address advanced persistent threats across government and industry. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Do you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractor, working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefit issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov. Brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
The Camps Kids Club, presented by Dasani, is where kids get in the game. Sign up your child for only $15 and receive an exclusive membership kit, including a Mike Knuble bobblehead doll. Invitations to member-only events, open skates at Kettler Capital's Iceplex, special contests, and much more. To sign up your child, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCaps.com.
Do you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractor, working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefit issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Colleen Kelly. She is president of the National Treasury Employees Union. They are the largest independent union of federal workers and have a very powerful lobbying presence on Capitol Hill, as do many federal and postal unions. Colleen, I interrupted you when we were talking about the House Appropriations Committee and what it had done. And I think you said that, and again, we're careful here to compare what we're comparing it to, but that the House Appropriations Committee had proposed a cut which was $1.3 billion from the 2011 budget that President Obama had proposed, which, of course, was not enacted on. So we're talking about those figures. And did you say, I know defense uses the term force multiplier all the time, and you use the word multiplier. Did I get it right that for every dollar the IRS spends, it takes in $5?
Yes.
Okay.
So yes, and that is a documented fact, Mike. So for every dollar that the IRS has not provided in funding, that is $5 that should be collected and paid to the Treasury, either for operations or to, to reduce the deficit. So that is a serious implication when it comes to the IRS's budget that those who are trying to cut it choose to ignore.
What was the rationale for that, or at least the stated rationale for cutting IRS that much?
I would not even begin to speculate or try to explain their logic for that, other than, they surely proposed a lot of cuts in a lot of agencies, but this was a major one. I think it might have been the one of the biggest ones was in the IRS. Now, you also saw them propose cuts in the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. They would see a decline of $220 million less, and that's despite additional increased responsibilities. You know, when I think about the FDA, if you think about the work they did in the late 70s, they used to inspect, back in the late 70s, 35,000 different food products. That was their job and their responsibility. This last year, the FDA inspected 7,500 food products. Now, I think food safety is something that every American is interested in, and yet there is zero focus being, being put on this or seriousness to fund this agency at the level that it needs. We also saw them propose cuts at the Securities and Exchange Commission, at TSA, which you had mentioned, at the Department of Health and Human Services. They would all be seriously impacted by these proposed cuts. Now, these are the ones that are proposed by the House Appropriations Committee totaled what I guess they keep applauding themselves for their $100 billion in cuts.
Well, you could find fat in any organization, including probably the one that I'm speaking to from right now. But when you're looking at a time when you have a deficit, when you have billions of dollars in uncollected taxes, billions owed to government, it begs the mind to cut the Internal Revenue Service and Border Patrol. But did you say Customs and Border Patrol was in for a cut?
Yes, Customs and Border Protection would have a decrease under this House proposal. And, of course, we know that we need more officers there at our ports of entry across the country and at our border crossings, again, to ensure the safety, you know, of the country, not just from a terrorist and security perspective, but also foods that move across our borders, you know, and all of the things that, again, we sort of take for granted and just assume and hope that somebody is taken care of, and that's what CBP does every day.
Well, we had some salmonella outbreaks that were pretty wide and pretty scary last year, early this year, I believe. When you were talking about FDA, I think I heard them wrong. You were talking about inspecting 40,000 food products a couple of years back?
In the late 70s, the FDA inspected 35,000 different food products each year for safety. This past year, they inspected 7,500 because that's all the staffing and the funding that they have to be able to do.
When they talk about food products, does that mean that they go into an assembly line at a plant and yank six packs of Jell-O out and test them? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, they have a wide range of activities, and a lot of them include work at their labs. There was just an effort a couple of years ago to shut down the FDA labs, too, even with this very minimal work, some would say, that's already going on.
Well, I would assume that the pressure for this may be coming from the processors or the manufacturers or the middlemen who think that the government is over-inspecting and raising their costs and unduly raising costs to the consumers. Is that what you hear? Is that what they say?
You know, I would expect, Mike, that there are a lot of forces at work, but the force that should be at work is that of the American citizens who trust that FDA is doing the job that it was put in place to do, and that it's being funded at the levels with the personnel it needs to be able to do that.
Well,
that's what I count on every day when I go to the grocery store.
Well, cutting back the Securities and Exchange Commission in this post-Bernie Madoff environment would seem to be strange, too. Again, any reason for that? Any stated reason for that?
No specific one that I could or would quote, Mike. They went after most agencies. I think it was about a dollar amount, not about the practicality or the best thing for the country. It was just about it getting to a number.
Well, we've been under a continuing resolution now since forever, it seems like. and the latest one, the expiration date, is it March the 4th? Is that correct?
Yes.
So what happens? March the 3rd, what happens?
Probably March 3rd, we will finally see a CR come forward. We'll either see a full budget, a full-year budget proposal, or we'll see another CR, either a proposal for a year-long CR, or it could be for another short period of time, depending on what all the backroom conversations are, I guess.
The ace in the hole for a continuing resolution is, if it's not approved, the government or significant portions of it are shut down. And this has happened in the fairly recent past, hasn't it?
It happened in the, I should know the year, when was it, the mid-90s that it happened? It has happened in, many federal employees can remember when it happened. It was that recent.
And that was between a Democratic, the President Clinton, and a Republican House or Republican-controlled Senate?
Yes, it was.
Okay, but same thing. But a lot of people are saying that this year it doesn't behoove either party to shut down the government. Sometimes it's a win-win for them, but that there are too many intangibles here, and that they won't have a shutdown.
Well, anyone who remembers the last shutdown, I think will remember that it did not fare well for those who caused the shutdown, which were the Republicans. So,
yeah, they took the heat. Many people said it takes two to tango, and that President Clinton could have also gone along with what they wanted. So,
what I remember the most was that taxpayers across the country who had no idea what a government shutdown would do to them saw firsthand when they showed up at national monuments with their families for vacation or at national parks and they couldn't get in. And they were shocked that there would be a government shutdown that would really impact them. I think many across the country think that that's only about Washington, D.C., and that it would have no impact on them. But and it lasted, I think, I want to say 3 days, Mike, if my recollection is right.
Yeah, and there were two of them there. There were two shutdowns fairly close together.
But no one really felt the consequences of, for example, late Social Security checks.
Right, that didn't happen,
like that.
And the federal workers did get paid because of the time lag. Well, I know old-timers call that a Washington Monument cut, and the idea is that, and they use the monument as an example, that the Interior Department is having budget problems. Congress or the administration puts a squeeze on them, so they say, very well, our first act of economy will be to shut down the elevator at the Washington Monument. And you've got 50,000 school kids who have come in from Keokuk, Iowa, and they're here to see, among other things, the monument, and they're told that because of the president or Congress, their lifelong dream is not going to be fulfilled. So, interesting times. I take a short break here. Colleen, can you stick with us?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back here on Your Turn.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday mornings at 10, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
How is the U.S. Department of Defense improving business operations? What is DoD doing to better use its resources, improve its stewardship, and provide the best support possible to the warfighters? And how is DoD leveraging technology and innovation to be more efficient and effective? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these questions and more with Dave Wettergren, Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. on WFED. This week, my special guest is Pat Wirth, owner of Potomac Falls Express Lube and Car Wash, the only woman-owned fast lube car wash business in Virginia. The show is sponsored by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Go! Hey, Eagles fans! Tickets to all American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24-7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletics Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena.
Catch the Eagles' next home game, Sunday, February 20th versus rival Holy Cross at 2 p.m.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news. Geico now offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. Geico, the government employees insurance company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about Geico's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Colleen Kelly, president of the National Treasury Employees Union, and they have members in the Internal Revenue Service. Where are your members, Colleen?
Our members are across the country, Mike, in every state, everywhere. That we represent employees in 31 agencies, 160,000 strong. So they're in most communities across the country.
And you and your rival, the American Federation of Government Employees, hope soon to be in the Transportation Security Administration too, right?
We are. We have at NTU, we have thousands of members at TSA today. But the good news is, as of a week ago Friday, they were granted collective bargaining rights on many of the key issues that matter most to them in the workplace. And there will be an election held where they will have the right to elect an exclusive representative with collective bargaining rights. And that election will begin on March 9th with the mail-out of ballots through April 19th. They can vote electronically or by mail, and there will be an announcement of the vote count on April 20th.
Well, that's a big deal for all concerned. And this administration has done a 180 compared. The Bush administration did not want this sort of thing because it said the collective bargaining would interfere with their needs when they had to move employees around on an emergency basis and quickie. And the unions have contended that in times of trouble such as 9/11, that's never an issue with you guys.
It has never been an issue. For those naysayers who wanted to have an excuse, they made that up, but there was never anything real that they could point to. This election and the granting of collective bargaining rights will give these employees for the first time a voice in the workplace. There are a lot of things that need to change at TSA for it to really be the world-class air passenger protection agency that it was designed to be. And frontline employees have a lot of ideas about how to do that. They want a work environment where they feel valued and respected, where they have an opportunity to raise their hand and bid on shifts around the airport at different locations. Management will always retain the right to determine the number of employees needed and all of the protocols, the security protocols. That has never, ever been an issue. So this will give employees that opportunity to really have a voice. And we're looking forward to that.
There are a number of airports around the country, and I want to say 16, but maybe more, maybe less, that have private security screeners, as kind of in the old days. And the TSA has put a moratorium on that so that no more airports can privatize. Who wants the privatization? Who benefits?
Well, contractors want that because they did all of this work before TSA was created and a federal workforce was created to do that work. So the contractors are who want this work back. But with Administrator Pistol's decision to not accept any more applications. That means that this work will remain where it belongs, in the hands of federal employees. This goes right to the point you mentioned earlier, Mike, about inherently governmental work. This is the kind of work that should be done by federal employees in an environment that has consistent rules and procedures and processes so that there is nonstop communication in all the airports across the country and not third parties who are out there operating these airports.
Well, I would think the background checks alone that the government does would be an argument in favor of government personnel as opposed to contractors.
And that's why TSA was created. There was a long and very, very public debate, you might remember, about whether or not this work should continue to be done by contractors or be a federal workforce. And it was decided when TSA was created in the aftermath of 9/11 that it would be a federal workforce. They are accountable for the work that they do, and that's who should be doing it.
Well, Colleen, listen, thank you for your time. I know you've been real busy with the budgets, and we will be back here and talk to you in maybe a couple of months to see how things are going.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Sanjay Sardar is the deputy CIO at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. He says he wants to merge mobile computing and data analysis to make it easier for agency officials to make decisions.
My holy grail for this is that accessible anywhere concept. You know, it really doesn't matter, one, what device you're using, where you are, as long as you can get access to that data in the nuggets that you need it. Will that mean building data warehouses? Potentially, yes. Say, hey, we're going to use SAS to do some of our modeling. Of course.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Become an extraordinary leader through the Key Executive Leadership Masters of Public Administration program at American University. Taught by faculty at the top-ranked School of Public Affairs, the Key MPA program is designed for working professionals and offers weekend classes to fit your schedule. Learn more at an information session on March 1st. To RSVP, visit spa.american.edu/key.
Let's see. You're expected to figure out how to power the federal government with cleaner, renewable fuels, consume far less energy, cut greenhouse emissions across the board, and do it all yesterday. Yes, when it comes to sustainability, government has more to-dos than time. Turn to Deloitte. We have the people, insight, and experience to help agencies be more green and clean and help government help America. Insights and opportunities at Deloitte.com/federal.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information. 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the National Toll-Free Helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
Select games for the Washington Capitals' top affiliate team, the Hershey Bears, can now be heard on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Follow the back-to-back Calder Cup champions and future Caps as they take on Rochester on Friday, February 18th at 7.05 p.m. on 1500 AM. Don't miss any of the amazing saves, electrifying goals, and history in the making as the Hershey Bears chase a historic third straight Calder Cup. For tickets, call 717-508-BEAR or visit HersheyBears.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The Federal Managers Association invites all federal managers, supervisors, and executives to its 73rd National Convention and Training Seminar, Federal Managers Turning Policy into Action. On Tuesday, March 15th in Arlington, Virginia, federal managers will gather for engaging presentations including Hiring Reform, What It Means to Managers, The Future of Supervisory Training, and Managing a Telework Workforce. For more details, visit fedmanagers.org. That's fedmanagers.org.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. It was nice to have Colleen come and visit us. And now we're going to be talking with some Federal Times expert, Steve Watkins, who is editor of the Federal Times newspaper, and Sean Riley, who is a senior writer. And Steve and Sean, thanks for standing by. And I know you guys have been following the budget process and the continuing resolution with great interest. And what's happening on the continuing resolution, and why is it important to federal workers? Hope you're there. Oh, Steve and Sean, are you there? Okay, we're having technical troubles. These plague me. Are you guys there? Okay, we have some of the greatest minds in radio working on this even as we speak. But I'm going to be talking with Steve Watkins and Sean Riley. Steve is editor of the Federal Times, and Sean is a senior writer, and they have been covering all of the goings-on in government, but particularly with the continuing resolution, the status of it, and, of course, the president's budget, and then the Republican alternative to the budget. And we're going to be discussing that. In the meantime, I've got some emails here while we're trying to get them on the phone. Are they there? No, okay. All right, I've got some... Got some emails. All right, let me go to the emails here. This is from Bob. He's with the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, NIST. He says, I'm within 7.5 months of turning 55, and I'm hoping and praying the government will offer an early out option or an early option with a buyout. I work in a relatively small office, and if a buyout is presented, I believe our office will be reduced from 8 to 3 employees with the stroke of a pen. So there's a lot of sentiment out there. The fact that we're being asked so many questions, getting so many queries about buyouts, means that a lot of people think they are ready to go. Here's one from Tony with the IRS, and he said, thanks for your article this morning. It's something I've said for years about our organization. We, the IRS, are the only government agency that can sustain itself. It's nice to get a little love sometimes. I've called many of my elected representatives on Capitol Hill and reminded them that if it wasn't for me and my coworkers at the IRS, you wouldn't get a paycheck. If it doesn't get said enough out of respect for all other federal workers who are devoted and hardworking employees, alas, it seems to fall on deaf ears most of the time. I'm reasonably sure that most of our elected officials equate all of us feds as PT boat crews, as in the John Wayne classic, they were expendable. That's from Tony in the IRS. Linda, an agent with the IRS, has this to say. She said, the impact on my agency, the IRS, is that my division, which is dealing with small business and self-employed workers, are way, way understaffed in examination. And yes, we're told they have a hiring freeze as well. I understand the collection side is no better. I don't think cutting the budgets on the tax collectors is a way to balance the budget. However you beat up on the IRS is it's the politically correct way to go. And on and on it goes. And I've been hearing this over and over again from federal workers. Many of them are angry about this seeming anti-government rhetoric that's about. But a lot of them, too, are really hurt, and they think it's not fair, it's not right. And I remind you that it would be a year ago, I think Friday, that the Internal Revenue Service employee in Austin, Texas, was killed by a mentally disturbed taxpayer who either stole or rented an airplane and crashed it into an IRS office in Austin, Texas. So the times are tough. We got Steve and Sean on the line. Steve, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Okay, technical difficulties. Sorry about that. In the introduction, I said that you and Sean had been following continuing resolution and obviously the president's budget and the Republican alternative budget. So what can you tell us about them?
Well, I think, by the way, Sean's away, so it'll
okay.
be me today. But the president's budget is a, I think both are dead on arrival, I think is a short way to put it. And we are basically just going to, what we see from the president's office is a budget that makes some mild cuts and affecting, in terms of cuts, more than half the agency.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking.
Oops, go ahead, Steve.
Yes, and on the House side, we see a quite radical CR to continue funding through 2011 that will cut spending by $61 billion, and that's a measure that the administration has already said they are going to veto. So really, this is going to boil down to some sort of a compromise between the Senate and the House and the administration, but we have yet to see the broad parameters of that.
Now, the deadline for this current CRX, does it expire on March 4th?
It does, yes.
So that's coming up. And worst-case scenario, if it expires, if the president vetoes it, this would be a situation similar to President Clinton and a Republican Congress back in the 90s when there was an actual government shutdown.
It could come to that. We have yet to see what is going to intervene, but both sides promise that there will be an intervention. So it's kind of an article of faith at this point that they're going to come to some agreement. So we'll have to see.
Well, you know, it seems to me that it's been getting worse over the years. I know for many, many years, my colleagues at the Washington Post, and times like this with a continuing resolution, they would come to me and say, oh, wise one, what's going to happen when the government shut down? And I would say the government's not going to shut down. They play this game every year. It's a game of chicken and somebody will blink. And then lo and behold, we had two shutdowns almost back to back. And since then, the government under both the Congress, under both Republicans and Democrats, seems to have be running government by continuing resolution. And that is the budget President Obama submitted for fiscal year 2011 has still not been enacted, correct?
That's right. And I think this is different from previous years. You're right. There often is a threat of a shutdown that often looms over some of these discussions. But I think this year there seems to be so much polarization. And you look at where the House Republican proposal is compared to where the administration and the Senate Democrat-controlled Senate is. They are just miles apart. So it's very unclear kind of where they're going to find that middle ground. But I want to believe that they certainly will.
Well, after, and you know, you and I talked about when we were doing the show on this, I've been getting emails, and I'm sure you have too, from retirees who are worried that somehow a shutdown might affect their checks. And that's not an issue right now, is it?
Well, I don't think so, and we've talked to the experts, and they tell us no. From what they can see, they don't see how pension checks would be affected. You know, one thing to keep in mind is that the March 4th, is D-Day here. Any pension checks that would be affected would be those going out in April, if a shutdown lasts that long. It's hard to imagine, but obviously not impossible, that if there is a shutdown, it would last that long. I wouldn't believe so, just because of the political pressures that would come to bear should that happen.
Well, and the shutdown, too, presumably would impact Social Security. administration, and that's the third rail of American politics.
Yeah, and that's an interesting situation. You know, when government shut down back in 95, 96, initially there was a big furlough of Social Security Administration employees, and most of them were soon called back to work by President Clinton at the time. And I find it hard to believe that if there's any way possible to avoid sending Social Security Administration employees home in the event of a shutdown, that that's not going to be taken.
Yeah, but people do worry. I read a letter over the air, and I just quickly get to it. This guy is with the National Institutes of Standards and Technology. He says, I'm within 7 months of turning 55, hoping and praying the Fed will offer an early out option or an early out option with a buyout. He said, I work in a small office, and if the buyout's presented, our office would be reduced from 8 to 3 employees with the stroke of a pen. What do you hear about buyouts and furloughs, if anything?
Yeah, basically, and we are constantly making calls to see what's going on out there, but nobody's talking about it right now. And understandably so. Everything right now is kind of in speculation mode. So I think until March 4th comes and goes, and people have a sense of, and also with the budget, you know, we don't know if there's going to be a big drawdown of the federal workforce, as many are proposing over the next few years. You know, the Republicans, there's several proposals, one to cut it to 200,000 people, another to cut it 300,000 folks, that's 10 and 15% of the workforce. I don't see that happening, at least with a Democratic-controlled Senate and with this administration. But in the event that something like that, that there is some agreement over the long term to reduce the size of the federal workforce, then I think it'll be up to each agency to see how that shakes out for them and decide on their own if they want to use that authority that they do have to offer buyouts or early outs.
Well, as you know, House Speaker Boehner had a press conference Tuesday, and he was talking about the Republican budget, the GOP budget in the House side, and he said that the federal employment has grown by 200,000 jobs since President Obama took office, and I don't know where that figure came from, with its stimulus, TARP, or what have you. And then when somebody said, well, you're talking about eliminating 200,000 jobs, and he said, if that happens, so be it. What do you make of that? I mean, are we making too much of that in the federal community, or?
Well, I don't think so, because I think it's I think it reflects a something that is very much at play here in the political landscape where all this is being debated, and that is that a lot of Republicans and their base of support do view federal employees with a lot of antagonism, and I think that's kind of the an important element here, and so. You know, a lot of feds are very uncomfortable and, frankly, afraid about kind of what the future holds in terms of pay benefits and job security. And I think, to some extent, rightly so. I think what has been viewed as a very stable career that is a federal job is going to become less so, and we'll have to see where that goes.
I want to ask you a question from an email and then back to something. This is from Susan Harris. She said, listen to the show, and regarding the federal budget, did I hear somebody say that the government research and development programs were not, I repeat, not as likely to be cut as some other programs?
I have not heard that anywhere. In fact, I don't believe that's the case. I think it kind of depends on what R&D programs you're looking at. For instance, the Obama administration has been on the record as saying they want to see more research into alternative fuels, energy efficiency, that type of thing. You know, on the Republican side, you see, actually, if anything, they're calling for cuts in a lot of R&D programs, including even DOD R&D programs.
Right, and I've seen some rundowns of these, and as you say, it's spotty. Some are going up, some weapon systems up, some down. A question about this attitude, the public attitude and the political attitude toward federal workers. It seems to me that a lot of this is being driven by the publicity we're seeing about problems in state governments, Florida talking about reducing pensions, New York City concerned about police and fire pensions and their burden on the taxpayers, Illinois California actually making cuts. I think California has already frozen hiring and whatnot. And it's my sense that a lot of people, when they talk about government, they confuse federal, state, local. And when you look at this scandal in California of the police chief in this tiny town who's making $400,000 a year, I think a lot of people equate that somehow with the federal government, but we're not seeing anything like that in the federal government.
No, I think you're right. I think that is how a lot of people look at it. They see what's going on in their own states and across the country, states are grappling with the $1 billion-plus budget shortfalls. They are having to resort to laying off folks, to revisiting their